Good afternoon. You're listening to KTOO. I'm Yvonne Crumry. Thank you for tuning in. Alaska's three presidential electors cast their vote for Donald Trump yesterday at a ceremony in Anchorage. The three electors selected by the Alaska Republican Party were Rick Whitbeck, Ron Johnson, and Eileen Becker. Lieutenant Governor Nancy Dahlstrom, who oversees the elections, introduced them during the brief gathering at the Denina Center.
Our three electoral votes are modest, but they symbolize the votes and the aspiration and the voice of all Alaskans, from the biggest communities to the smallest villages and most remote places that we have in Alaska. These votes remind us that every state, every individual has a stake in the direction of our nation.
Though the electors typically cast their votes in Juneau, they met in Anchorage this year to make travel easier, according to the Division of Elections. The electors signed certificates that would be shipped to Washington, D.C., where they'll be counted by the next Congress on January 6th. The count will be overseen by Trump's opponent in the presidential race, Vice President Kamala Harris. Similar scenes took place across the country as 535 other electors voted for their state's chosen candidate. Trump defeated Harris with 312 electoral votes after winning all seven swing states in the November 5th election. And visitors to the Alaska State Capitol won't need to pass through an airport-style security checkpoint, at least for now. That's after a committee last week set aside a proposal that would have beefed up screening in Juneau. That means Alaska will remain one of the seven states without a checkpoint screening visitors to the Capitol building. Opponents say the proposal would have limited public access to legislators and the business of government. The decision to table the proposal came after a three-hour closed-door discussion by the committee. The Legislative Council, a joint House and Senate committee that oversees Capitol operations outside of the normal session, cited security concerns as a reason not to talk through the proposal in public. You're listening to KTOO. You're listening to KTOO. I'm Yvonne Crumry. Thank you for tuning in. The City and Borough of Juneau's Utilities Division announced a proposal yesterday to increase residents' water and sewer rates by more than 50% over the next 5 years. Juneau's utility rates have gone up 2% each year since 2020. The last time rates were increased was in July. But according to the division's website, those increases have fallen short of what's recommended by studies and left the division in a revenue deficit. The proposal comes as a lot of water and sewer systems infrastructure reaches the end of its lifespan and maintenance becomes more costly. The division says raising rates will allow the city to invest in critical repairs and replacements so systems can continue to operate in the coming decades. The division proposes increasing the flat residential water rate by just over 10% starting next July. Then the rate will increase another 10% each July until 2029. The proposed sewer increase is similar at nearly 13% each year. In total, that's more than a 50% increase for both bills in just 5 years. The division said it could have been worse. Juneau residents voted this October to approve a wastewater bond to borrow $10 million to replace critical infrastructure at the Juneau Douglas Wastewater Treatment Plant. City leaders said the rate increase would have been higher if the bond didn't pass. The Juneau Assembly will ultimately decide whether or not to increase rates. The division is set to host an open house for people to learn more and ask questions about proposed increases tomorrow night at the Thunder Mountain Middle School School Library. And changes are coming for some of the refugees who call Alaska home. The Biden administration won't extend legal status for a number of them. And President-elect Donald Trump has promised to limit immigration and end temporary protected status for certain groups. Alaska's refugee community works in healthcare, childcare, and infrastructure across the state, all industries that need workers. But many aren't sure if they'll be able to stay. Ketley Gregoire sits in her Juneau living room next to her blindingly lit Christmas tree. Her nieces make chicken and a dish called salad russe, a Haitian salad made with potatoes and beets in the kitchen. She came here from Haiti in the fall of 2023 to escape widespread violence. Some of her family was already in Juneau.
It's like Haiti is in war.
She's here legally under a humanitarian parole program the Biden administration began last year for Cubans, Haitians, Venezuelans, and Nicaraguans. The administration said it won't renew the program. Haiti has been deemed an unsafe place by the Department of Homeland Security because gangs have increased their hold on the country. That's left Haiti without a functioning government.
Sometimes they come in your street and kidnap people and ask for a lot of money you don't have. And then sometimes they come on your street and burn your house.
Now Gregoire serves meals at Wildflower Court, a long-term care facility that has struggled for years to find enough staffing. She's been training to work as a certified nursing assistant and will take her CNA test in January. Gregoire's parole status expires next fall, and it won't be renewed because the program is ending. She applied for temporary protected status, an immigration status that allows people fleeing dangerous home countries to live and work in the United States, and she's still waiting to hear back. But President-elect Donald Trump says he plans to heavily restrict TPS, the status that would allow her to stay.
And if we go back over there, we are at risk to be killed.
There are more than 1,000 people in Alaska who use refugee services because of danger or instability in their home countries. And like Gregoire, they work in fields Alaska often struggles to staff, like healthcare, childcare, and construction. Zori Opanasevich is the executive director of New Chance, a nonprofit that has helped resettle Ukrainian refugees in Alaska who are granted temporary status because of violence from the country's conflict with Russia. That program has been extended through 2026, but it's not clear if it will be again once Trump takes office. Right now, they can be here legally, but they have to keep updating their status, which is time-consuming and costly. But Opanasevich says they usually get to stay.
And every year they reapply. So they have almost stability, but it's not because every year they apply and they have to wait. And what if the president was to close it? We see it historically. It's always been renewed.
But right now, there's uncertainty about that renewal. And that's a concern for Joyanne Bloom, who coordinates refugee resettlement in Juneau. She has helped several Ukrainian and Venezuelan families resettle in the last few years.
I know they don't want to go back. There's still a war going on in Ukraine. Venezuela is still not a good country to be in. People that fled there had good reason to leave. And certainly we know Haiti is not a safe place to be.
And Bloom said she worries about how the departure of Juneau's refugee community would affect everyone else in town.
So the thought for us of them getting sent back, when they're all working valuable jobs here. I mean, they're helping out in our community, and they've assimilated so well.
Back in Lemon Creek, Ketley Gregoire's eyes fill with tears at the thought of moving her family back to Haiti after working hard to rebuild their lives here. She says she misses her community in Haiti, but it's too unsafe.
I never want to leave my country. And then it's because our country is very insecure. We came here like refugee, and we just want to be taking part of the community to help all we can.
Advocates like Opanasevich say that if Trump ends TPS, refugees can seek other avenues to stay in their communities, like employer-sponsored work visas or asylum. But neither are guaranteed. In Juneau, I'm Yvonne Cremery. And the Juneau School District extended the free universal breakfast that feeds hundreds of students in the district every day. But funding to keep the program free next year is uncertain. KTOO's Clarice Larson donned a hairnet to get a taste of what school breakfast means to students.
What would you like today? The smell of maple syrup and savory sausages filled the air at Jonah Douglas High School Yada'at Cathle on Tuesday morning. It's breakfast time, and Claire Snyder, a junior at the high school, walks down the cafeteria line to grab a bite to eat before class.
Usually sometimes I don't have enough time to like get something at home, or I just forget. I'm really good at forgetting things.
The district's free universal breakfast program means students don't have to start the day with an empty stomach, and families don't have to worry about paying for it. The Juneau School Board voted on Tuesday to extend the benefit for another semester. But after that, its future is uncertain.
It's really convenient and nice for people who just don't have enough time, and at least they can start with breakfast, because starting with breakfast gives them at least something throughout the day.
Snyder is about one of 60 students who eats breakfast at the high school, and one of about 650 students who eats it across the district. It's free to every student. Schools invest in meals because, for decades, studies have repeatedly shown that children who eat a nutritious breakfast perform better in school than those who don't.
Like, for the fruit choice, I have applesauce or strawberry cup?
Elizabeth Seitz oversees the district's breakfast and lunch programs.
As much as we would like to think that kids go home and have nutritious food, we know that that doesn't always happen.
She says the breakfast program has been in place for nearly a decade. Community donors help keep it free. Seitz says each breakfast costs roughly $4.50 a meal before federal reimbursements.
Being able to offer all the kids a free breakfast is a huge benefit to the community as well as our students. The students really, like I said, they don't need to now worry about where they're going to get their breakfast so that they're not thinking about an empty stomach while they're trying to study and learn.
On Tuesday, the school board voted to absorb a $115,000 funding gap for the semester using some unexpected funding from the state. But that money isn't promised for next year or the year after that. That concerns Randy Pierce, the head cook in the high school's kitchen. She says knowing that students are getting a nutritious meal every day is what gets her up in the morning.
You don't know a child's outside life. You don't know if they're getting fruit at breakfast in the morning. At least we know when they're coming here and they're getting that free breakfast, we know they're getting fed. And if they lose that, who knows if they're getting to eat at home.
School board members like Emil Mackey say the district needs to find reliable funding quickly if they want to keep the program free.
I do think that this is something we need to really deep dive in the budget and really reach out to our partners and see what we can do to accommodate this in the future. This is not a cost that we cannot just, you know, continue to absorb without help.
Seitz says that in the meantime, she plans to reach out to more community partners to see if they can offer more funding. She also wants to get more families to apply for the program so the district qualifies for more federal reimbursement money. That's all to keep students like Savannah Sonneson fed and able to focus on school. She says it really helps her pay attention during the day.
If I don't get breakfast at home, I sometimes come here, or if I really would like to try out the breakfast here, I'll go for it.
And it's worth trying.
That's really nice. That's really nice.
In Juneau, I'm Clarice Larson.
And this is KTOO.